We are here today to honor our God, Jehovah, and His Son, our Lord and King, Jesus. A few announcements to begin with for this week. As you see in the bulletin, our friend Darlene went on to be with the Lord on Wednesday, and the funeral will be tomorrow with visitation, fellowship, 10 o'clock, and the service at 11. And I was told and sent out an email that the lunch was only for family. However, it showed up in the newspaper that lunch will follow. So I guess lunch will follow. And you can choose if you want to stay for that or not. And then another reminder, Judy Linden's memorial service will be on Saturday with visitation at 1 and the memorial service to follow at 2, and it is at Biwabic Covenant Church. And Tim Van Soest is officiating.
Junior.
Thank you. So if you'd like to stand, let's share the call to worship together from Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times.
His praise will always be on my lips.
My soul will boast in the Lord.
Let the afflicted hear and rejoice.
So glorify the Lord with me. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him.
And he delivers them.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
The righteous cry out.
And the Lord hears them.
He delivers them from all their troubles.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed.
Let us remain standing, and if you're able, and sing "To God Be the Glory" number 72 with our accompanist, the digital animal.
Thank you.
Father, we come to you today with hearts filled with the fruit of the Spirit because of you. We honor you and glorify you forever. Forever you will be glorified. Our Lord Jesus, we honor you today, for you are the way, the truth, and the life, and you have brought us to our Father. We are your family together, and so joining the rest of the family throughout the world, we honor you and glorify you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
First reading is from Psalm 111. It's page 464. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The second reading is from John chapter 6, verses 51 to 58, and that is page 815. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever.
As we've talked about before, time of offering in this church is to give joyfully to the Lord what the Lord has placed on your heart for his mission, his work on this planet, and through this church. Bernie, if you want to come forward, we'll have a word of prayer. We thank you our gracious Father, for all the good things you send our way. We consider ourselves blessed because of you. These gifts we give to you are from our heart with love to you. Use them for your service and most importantly, for your glory. And we will always thank you through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Be still and know I am with you. Still, for I will sustain you. Throughout your life I will always be near. Be still and know I am God. When life is scattered, I'm not far away. When life is heavy, I'll carry you. When life is treacherous along the way, I will deliver you. Be still and know I am with you. Still, for I will sustain you. Throughout your life I will always be near. Be still and know I am God. When you are tempted, escape you will see. When you are broken, I'll comfort you. When you're repentant and draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Be still and know I am with you. Still, for I will sustain you. Throughout your life I will always be near. Be still and know I am God. If you are thirsty, come drink from the well. If you are hungry, come join the feast. If you are searching, then I will be found to bring you hope and release. Be still and know I am with you. Still, for I will sustain you. Throughout your life I will always be near. Be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am God. Let us stand and sing the doxology, and we're going to sing the Amen. Just wait for the little space.
I kind of don't like that, telling people to be seated. So if you want to sit down, just sit down. Or if you want to stay seated, stay seated. We're very flexible here. As we pray today, I've added Sid and the kids to our list. So if you would pray with me. Our Father God, we thank you for fellow believers who've gone on to be with you. We thank you for the special time that you allowed them entrance and accompanying our lives. What we've gained from them, the joy and the peace and the fellowship, has been a blessing to us for sure. And so we ask that you would be with their families, specifically with Roger, Mark, John, and Sarah, with Bernie, Jennifer, and Elizabeth, and their extended family, Terry, Kate, Zach, Chris, as well as Thea. We ask that you would be with Brian and Julie, Aaron, Lucas, and Matthew, and Sid, and their children during this time of recovery. For these, we ask that you would help them to find a path of peace and strength in you, that these events would lead them closer to you and an incentive to continue on the journey with Jesus. We lift up to you Linda and Steve. We lift up to you Jean and Ed and Shirley's friend Brad. It's been to see the doctor again this week. I praise you because you are their God and the Father of their Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Father of compassion and God of all comfort to them. You comfort them in all their troubles so that they may be able to comfort others in the same way that they have received comfort from you. For us here today, Father, we have chosen to continue on the way. We are proud to say and declare that we are followers of the way, your Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Help us on our journey in every way that we have needs. Help us to glorify you in all circumstances, and to seek and to find your special, unique way for us in our lives. We will continue without question, firmly and certain, to glorify your holy name and the holy name of your Son in the Holy Spirit that you have given to us. And we are glad to be able to continue on this journey with you, happy, excited, and glorifying you forever. We seal these requests in the name of the one who has allowed us and instructed us to bring our petitions to you,
And that name you know, of course, is your Son, Yeshua, Jesus, in whom you are well pleased. Your Son, whom you love. Amen.
Turn to 333. This is a song that should be familiar for some of you, at least. Lord, you've come to the lakeshore. You have come.
In the words of one of our hymns, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known. That song that we just sang is just filled with commitment. We're going to talk about today the way. I am the way. So a little background. Jesus taught his disciples and ministered to the people during his life in Hebrew, the Hebrew language. We got our manuscripts for the Bible from Greek manuscripts, dating back, I think, the earliest one that we have was from about 300 AD. And so there were likely manuscripts written before that, obviously, by the apostles during the first century AD. And then they kept getting copied, and they were copied into Greek because Greek was the lingua franca of the day, like English is today. You can go anywhere in the world and find people who speak English. And that's what it was during the time of Jesus, which is an interesting historical search because Rome ruled the world at that time. Well, why didn't they speak Roman? Well, it's because prior to Rome, Greek ruled the world and spread their language through the whole world, and so it just continued on that Greek was the language. And so Jesus knew Greek, but when he was with his Jewish friends and with the Pharisees and Sadducees, of course, and scribes and so forth, he spoke Hebrew. We know that because when he said this word, I am, it annoyed them because he said it in Hebrew, because I am is God's name. And they were not allowed to say that. And so when he said, I am, and he says that many times during his ministry, I am Yah. And as we've studied before, God's name was Yahweh. But the shortened version is the first part, Yah, I am. The second part, way, that I am. I am the self-existent one. When Moses heard that, he took that to be the name of God. Great, fine. That has continued on. I also see a second meaning in there. When Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God says, I am that I am. Why do I need a name? I'm the only God there is. And then, of course, Moses took it as the name, and the Hebrew people honored that and, like I say, would not speak that out loud except in very sacred settings. But I'm going to talk today about the way, the other half of that. I am the way, John 14:6, and of course, you all know, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And I use that regularly in my time of prayer. You are my way. You are my truth. You are my very life, the way, the road less traveled, the narrow way. Had a conversation last fall with a relative of ours. I don't know, cousin, nephew, I get those all mixed up. I don't know what they are. Who is in prison. And we were at Kathy's sister's house. And one of our holiday celebrations that we get together could have been Easter or Thanksgiving, I don't know what it was. And he called because then he could talk to all of us and we put it on speakerphone and so forth. And everybody was updating about the family and stuff like that. And then there was a pause, so I just got up and snuck over to get close. And I said, "Alan, how are you in Jesus?" That question that we as covenanters, well, before our time, way back in the 1800s, one of those questions that we keep foremost in our mind. And he said, "Well, not so well." Later I found out he wrote a letter to Lori and said he'd got back into Bible study. He had recommitted his life to Christ. That question, are you a follower of the way? How are you in Jesus? Are you on track? Are you on the journey? Which brings me to the word, of course, the way. So, every time I've read this verse, I've thought of like a road map. If I'm going to go south out of Virginia, the way is Highway 53. If I'm going to go southwest out of Virginia toward Chisholm and Hibbing, the way is 169. If I'm going to go northward, 53 and 169 until they separate, and then you got to decide which one of those ways you're going to go. And that's how I always thought of the way, is that road. So studying this week, I found out more than that. And some of you are probably already there. You've probably already figured it out. It's not a road map. Like, I got saved and I plan to go to heaven someday. We listen to country western music when we're traveling. And this occurs in many country western songs, something like this. But the one that I remembered was the Red Dirt Road. And in the Red Dirt Road, he says, that's where I found Jesus. And when I've heard that song, the question always comes to my mind, well, what about today? What's your travel today? I mean, that's great, but where have you gone since then? How's the journey been going for you? And the word in Greek is hodos. Doesn't help us much. The word in Hebrew, which was what Jesus was speaking, is derech. Think like direction. And what it means is not a roadway, not Highway 53. What the word means in both Hebrew and Greek is a journey, a lifelong journey. We just sang that hymn, and it refers to people who've encountered Jesus, left the boats behind. We are on a new journey. I was a fisherman, And now I'm on the journey with Jesus. It was easy for the people in Jesus' day to get it because they didn't have cars and GPS and road maps. Every place they went to was a trek, was a journey. They had to walk. Some wealthy people had donkeys and so forth, and we remember that when Mary and Joseph traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, that Joseph somehow procured a donkey so that it was an easier trip for Mary in her 9th month. I think that was very kind of him to think of her. But that still, even on a donkey, was a trek, a 2-day journey for Mary in her 9th month. Well, for the people that Jesus was talking to, this wasn't get in your car and drive and then stop and get a cup of coffee and there's a wayside rest along the way. No, it was a journey. It was time-consuming. It was you're committing yourself to travel even when it is not comfortable or pleasant. And so the journey means that it includes any stopovers along the way as we travel with Jesus, any rest stops, any conversations along the way, any unusual customs that we may find during the way, any encounters along the way. And you've probably enjoyed some of those encounters like I have, because some of them are challenging, but some of them are amusing when you talk to somebody and you think, the only thing I'm looking for here is where do I fit in talking to you about Jesus? Because I'm getting the picture. You're not there. And so you just look for that opening. Any conduct, our conduct during the journey, any detours. I frequently tell the Lord, and this has just been a recent revelation to me from Psalm 23. I like your rod and your staff. I've got to have it because I get off track and I need you to get me back on track. Also, it includes any passengers along the journey. In Matthew 7, we're told that there are 2 ways, a broad way and a narrow way. Think journey. A broad journey and a narrow journey. Yes. We as Christians, and we've been accused of this, so we just might as well admit it, we are narrow-minded. Unfortunately, for a world that is very broad-minded, we are on a narrow journey. That doesn't mean we have to be annoying or critical or argumentative or bossy or anything like that. It just happens to be this has been our choice. And I'm sure you've used that. I know that I have used that in my journey when it comes to the discussion about different ways of life. And I've just said, this is what I've chosen. This is what I believe. I know other people believe different things, but for me, and it brings us back to Joshua, for me and my household, we will follow the Lord. In John 14:6, which we have been referring to, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. and you're already well versed in Hebrew, so you know that when he says, I am the way, it's Yah Ha Derek. Yah, God's name. Ha, the Derek, journey. God is the journey. Jehovah is the journey. And Jesus is speaking. So he is saying, I am the journey. I can expect, think, that this probably was very annoying to the religious people of his day, and of course we know that it was, because he just continued to offend them, using the name of God to apply to himself, and at the same time, very clearly saying that the Father and I. So he wasn't equating himself, saying, there's only one God, I am the Father and I'm here. But no, the Father and I are one. So the way, the journey, is less like I am the doorway to the Father, I am the doorway to salvation, I am the doorway to eternal life, and more like I am the lifelong journey to the Father. I am the lifelong journey to salvation. I am the lifelong journey to eternal life. And this affects our social life, our emotional life, our vocational life, our recreational life. And for me, my intellectual life, because my brain is one of my challenges. I think too much, and I have to force my brain to get focused back on track. But when Jesus said this, the disciples got it, because they knew what those words meant. They not only got it, but they chose to live it. So they left behind their boats. Matthew left behind his tax collecting, and they started on a journey with Jesus. I have oftentimes thought it would have been so cool to live there at that time and follow this Jesus. But then I catch myself and say, you know, it's risky too, because the challenges that Jesus gave weren't just to help us along life. The challenges that Jesus gave was quit and start a new journey. And of course, through my life, I've chosen that, but there have been times when I have not. And so it's been a rechoice, get back on the journey with Jesus. And I think for all of us, that's probably been true. But the disciples got it, and Paul got it. That revelation on the road to Damascus totally changed Paul's life, as he reports in the book of Ephesians. I left everything. I had everything. I was at the top of the game, and I just left it, and frankly, I think it was all trash compared to what I found now. This Jesus. This way, this word, Derek, Hebrew, and in Greek, Hodos, caught on so much that we find the whole area started to call these people the people of the way, the people of the journey. Their lives had been so transformed that the world looking at them said, they're on a trip. Brings me back to the 70s a little bit. They're on a journey. Their lives have been changed. I can see their lives are changed. And so as people fill into churches on Sunday morning, neighbors are observing. These people are nuts. They're going to church. They're changed. They're on a journey. And I believe that this is one of the factors. It's my personal belief that this is, or personal conclusion, theory. Let's put it that way. That's what Kathy wants me to work on. This is what isn't true. It's just Mike's theory, and I have a lot of them. One of my theories is this is what we're seeing today in the decrease of church attendance. And I'm not saying that church is the only part of our walk. I'm not saying that for sure. But I think there are people who the journey, they've chosen not to include that in the journey. And perhaps, well, not perhaps. Oh, Mike's theory, get back on that again. Mike's theory is, I think many people today have now wandered off to the wide journey, the options out there, and have begun to exclude that narrow, narrow journey. That doesn't mean that people who don't attend church aren't on the journey. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it's a factor. The world is calling people. And so they were called people of the way. And so I'd like to end with Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first part out of the NIV and the second part out of an interlinear translation of the scriptures. As for you, Paul is being very blunt here because he's just got done talking in chapter 1 about this glorious Jesus and his perfection and everything that he has done. And now Paul starts in chapter 2 by saying, as for you. Now I'm going to talk straight to you. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, very blunt, Paul is, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, God's wrath. And so Paul is being very blunt here and also very inclusive because in these first verses, Paul has identified our three enemies. Well, we know that the prince of the power of the air is our enemy. Probably most of us are not regularly bothered by him. Maybe annoyed a little bit, but he probably hasn't picked us out as a particular target. But I know that when I was working, employed in as a social worker and car repairman and working at the hardware store and so forth, I know that he was challenging me regularly not to talk about Jesus. I know that's one of the things we encounter in those environments or out in social environments. So I know that there is some impact there. But he also identified our second enemy, which is the world. And this is a hard one for many Christians to get a hold of, because the scripture says that the world is our enemy. The world is not our friend. And of course, in that passage, it goes on to say, but we're living in the world, but we're not of the world. That's the journey. The narrow journey and the wide journey. So as we continue to live in life, we are in the world, but not of the world. But I know from my own personal life, and I expect that it's probably true for you, as we journey in the world, there are challenges to continue to live for Jesus in the world, because the world is filled with so much other stuff. We were challenged yesterday because a friend of a friend came to a celebration of life that we had for Kathy's brother, who died last fall in October. And we were introduced to our friend. He came up. He had been in an accident, so he had his arm in a sling, and he had broken his leg in several places. And we've known him for many years. And as we're introduced to him, he turns and says, by the way, this is my fiance, Aaron. And a guy is standing there. And so we're challenged on walking in love and continuing to hold our narrow way for us. And it's always a challenge when we encounter those situations. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, but it's still something we probably need to talk about more. How do we walk in love and still minister to people who are not choosing the way? We have to do both. Love God and hate sin. And it is a challenge to walk in that narrow way in between, to continue to love people and still hold our narrow way. One of the things that I've incorporated into my life, as I mentioned before, is when it comes to these issues, I go, but me, Mike, this is what I believe. And so I was asked a couple of years ago to perform a wedding, and I'm an ordained minister, but not in a church. And friends of ours, Christian friends of ours, two different genders were involved in this marriage, just to make it clear. And I had to refuse to do it because, as an ordained minister and not in a denomination, if I perform a wedding for a couple, and this is the law, you probably aren't aware of it, but for me, I'm very aware of it. If I did that, then if a same-sex couple comes to me and asks me to marry them, I would have to. But if I'm in a denomination that has guidelines, then I can refuse. And so the Covenant Church, of course, has guidelines. And so now I can refuse, but not part of a denomination, licensed or ordained independently. I would not have that opportunity. So I had to refuse to marry these friends of ours, and I explained to them why, and they were all fine with it. But it's those choices that we make on this narrow way, and I make them for me. This is what I believe. This is where I stand, but I still love you. Wow, that's hard to do, to keep that balance, isn't it? Now I would like to read from the interlinear translation the rest of that passage in Ephesians. This is going to sound sort of like Yoda on Star Wars, because it's translating from the Greek literally. Starting in verse of my... four. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, we got to stop there. After all we've been told about us, and I agree with Dr. David Jeremiah, two words put together are probably the most important words in all of Scripture. But God. Now, it changes. But God, rich being in mercy, through the much love of Him which He loved us, and being us dead ones in the falls beside, He made alive to the Christ, to undeserved kindness, you are being, have been, having been saved. And He raised up together and seated. And He seated together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that He may show within in the ages the ones coming upon the surpassing riches of the undeserved kindness of Him in kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. I read that in the interlinear because it has different words than we have in our Bibles. Undeserved kindness. What's the word in your Bible for that? Grace. I like undeserved kindness. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. You've all heard that, I think. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Undeserved kindness. I know not why. God's wondrous love to me was made known. Undeserved kindness. And when you realize that this is undeserved kindness, how can you not thank Him? How can you not glorify Him? How can you not continue on the journey? I'll tell you what. How can I not? I mean, my goodness, even when I've gotten off track, I've got to get back on that journey with Jesus. It's it. It's the show. What famous people do you know that you can think of right offhand who you know are on the journey? Tony Dungy, he is on the journey. Everywhere he goes, he talks about the Lord. Reggie Smith. We've got four quarterbacks in the NFL this year who are outspoken Christians. I think of Daniel. Daniel, there's an edict passed that says you can't pray to any other god. What does Daniel do? He goes home, opens the windows, gets down, and prays to Jehovah. Three times a day. Just irritates these guys who got that edict passed. Didn't matter. Daniel went home and prayed. He didn't change a thing. Outspoken. And as you know, he ended up in a pretty awful place. Wasn't awful for him, because he just still stayed on the journey. So, question. President Biden? President Trump? Kamala Harris? It makes us wonder, doesn't it? And I look for people who are on the journey. Not just national, because I don't encounter them, but locally. It just delights me. This last week we got an email inviting us to join or participate with a group of believers and churches all over the Iron Range on the weekend. We believe it's Sunday, September the 1st, even though the little flyer said Sunday, September 3rd. But I guess the 3rd is not on Sunday. So they'll probably have to fix that. But they invited us to join with them for an all-church worship service at the Discovery Center in Chisholm. And so I got busy and looked up all the email addresses of who's in this batch of people that are going to have this service. And I, one by one, I'm identifying people I know that just love the Lord. I know they're on the journey because I know them. I've seen them. I've talked with them. I've worked with them. I've been involved with them. And I just got excited about this opportunity. And their goal is renewal on the Iron Range. I'm in. And so we talked about it at the council, and I was informed, which I had forgotten, is that we usually don't have service on Labor Day weekend. Did I say Memorial Day before? It's Labor Day. I get those two mixed up. September 1st. We don't usually have service on Labor Day weekend. Okay, we now have an invitation. So start to think about that. Start to pray about that. Joining with our brothers and sisters and a whole bunch of us, just declaring to the range, we are on the journey. And I'm glad you're on the journey with me. I'll get all my stuff out of the way for Jeffrey here.
Let us sing God of the Ages, 426. Familiar tune. Thank you. and sing our benediction together, our blessing.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you, give you, give.